Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about embracing the fullness of God's grace. So let's pray. Mighty God, speak to us through your word today, we pray, that we may hear you calling us out of our struggles and into your grace by the enabling power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Our reading for today is from the book of Romans, chapter 7, from verse 14 to 25, and I'm reading from the NIV. Paul, speaking to the Roman church, says this: "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin." Just to there. And may God bless his word to us today and always. Our passage for today is about coming to terms with our imperfect selves by embracing the fullness of God's grace through the Holy Spirit. For it's only in his grace that we are truly free to be all that God has called us to. With that said, our reading is preceded by verses 1 to 13, where Paul told the church in Rome about the role of the law of God and how it exposes our sinful natures, but also that followers of Christ are no longer under the law. By a metaphor, he showed that as a wife is no longer married to her husband when he dies, so a Christian is no longer under the law. This separation was through the body of Christ, that is, because of Christ's death on the cross. He then explained why it is important that we are free from being subject to the law of God. Here is what he said in verse 10. "The very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Furthermore, that even though the law of God, as depicted in the Old Testament, is good, it has been used by sin, inherent in our natures, to produce death, and thus reveals sin for what it truly is, utterly destructive." Paul then said in verse 14, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin." What he meant here is that since the law comes from God, who is spirit, it is spiritual. By contrast, he, even as a follower of Jesus, is unspiritual, being made of flesh, a human being. And so, even as a Christian, the aspect of being trapped in the bondage of the sinful condition remains a reality for all of God's people, death being the ultimate reminder of this reality. In light of verse 14, one commentator says the following, and I quote, "As outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are basically three types of people. The natural man, from chapter 2 verse 14, is what we all were before we were saved. The spiritual man, in chapter 2 verse 15, is the one who is saved and who walks in the Spirit. The carnal man, in chapter 3 verse 1, is born again but lives in the energy of his flesh. Here I want us to note that in chapter 3, verse 2, the Christians were acting out of jealousy and strife, according to Paul. He continues by saying, "Therefore, although the carnal man can appear to be saintly and righteous, he is miserable internally because he knows he can't live up to the rules, regulations, and expectations he has placed upon himself." End of quote. And this then sets the stage for the struggle laid out in our reading for today, what may be understood as the tension between the now and the not yet, that is, the tension between what God sees me as and pronounces me to be and how I experience my life, my interactions and behavior in this world right now. As we look at our text then, we discover that in verse 15, Paul confessed, "I do not understand what I do." Literally, what I am producing, I do not know. It's as if a person's actions are subject to someone or something besides himself that he really does not understand and cannot explain. Paul continued to present the quandary he faced by saying, "For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." The thing is, that this statement can be made by an unsaved person in their highest moral and ethical moments, but it can also be said by a saved person. As such, there is no reason to conclude that Paul was not describing his experience as a believer at that time, and so it speaks to us today as a church. Also, Paul, because of this dilemma stated in verse 16, "I agree then that the law is good." Here the Greek word for good means beautiful, noble, excellent. And in verse 12 he describes the law as good also, but then the Greek means useful, upright. And because the law is excellent and upright, Paul concluded, "No longer then am I myself producing it, but it is sin living in me," literally, "the dwelling in me sin." This does not mean that Paul was avoiding personal responsibility for his actions. He was speaking of the conflict between his desires and the sin within him. Paul's experience convinced him that the law is good, but he also concluded, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature." And sinful nature here is translated from the Greek word for flesh, which is not literal physical flesh, but the principle of sin that expresses itself through one's mind and body in a negative and broken way. As supporting evidence for this conclusion, Paul explained in verses 18 through to 20, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." This then is a problem common to all believers. From his experiences, Paul concluded in verses 21 to 23, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." What this law is, which is at work, is really in the Greek a principle drawn from Paul's experience. It will later be contrasted with the law or principle of the Spirit of life in chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. And so this law or principle, which seems to constantly be at work in the life of Paul, as well as in every believer, is the reality of ever-present temptation to evil in an individual whenever they want to do good. But how to come to grips with this is the question and the quandary, because of the ongoing conflict where a believer has a new nature or capacity for loving God's truth or delighting in God's law, while at the same time the capacity to say, do, or think what our sinful natures press upon us to enact is so very present. And so this war against the law of the believer's mind, which is the new nature that is being formed by God's word through the Holy Spirit, is a conflict that threatens to make the believer a prisoner of the law of sin. And this threat is so very real when a child of God attempts to resist the indwelling sinful nature in his or her own power. Despite their identification with Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and their efforts to have Christ-honoring attitudes and actions, to do so in and of themselves, they will repeatedly experience defeat and frustration. And Paul expresses this frustration in his exclamation, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" He recognized that as long as he was in his mortal body, he would face the conflict with the indwelling sin principle and would experience defeat every time he tried to do so in his own strength. But it was a question for which he had an immediate and triumphant answer nonetheless. "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord," which is based on that which would be once God's people join Jesus, their resurrected and exalted Lord, for all eternity in their new bodies, free from the presence of sin. In the meanwhile, in this life, Paul concluded, "So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." Which is to say that while awaiting freedom from the presence of sin, believers still face conflicts between their renewed minds or their new natures and the remains of their sinful natures. As we conclude then, despite various views on this chapter, which still prevail, we must take note of a few things. Firstly, most important, despite his final statement in verse 25, Paul is not trying to describe the struggle between a lower, base version of ourselves, that is the flesh, and a higher, inner nature that is untouched by sin, an idea that would have been foreign to him. Instead, for Paul, the inmost self and the flesh are not different selves at different levels, but two aspects of the one person who is sold under sin, his sincere desire and his helpless human weakness. Secondly, there is for Paul one God of all human beings and one true relationship to him for all, the trust exemplified by Abraham and made a reality for us through the life and work of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, what is required of us is to recognize our imperfect selves and embrace the fullness of God's grace through the Holy Spirit. Paul began chapter 8 with the words, "Therefore, in light of what has been discussed, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law, or principle of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law or principle of sin and death." And so may God help us as we navigate his words of encouragement and gain perspective on our Christian life and experience. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that although there is nothing that we can do to gain your approval, we are accepted in the Beloved. Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns at God's right hand to break the power of sin in our lives. Would you then keep us ever mindful that there is an internal war that seeks to draw us back into worldly ways, so that we will stand firm instead and by your grace live in the power of your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And God bless you.